Okay, so this is like public service announcement.
Okay.
Now,
AKA Jordan's therapy session of the week.
It just drives me nuts. I get so many messages about like different interventions, like mobility tools, like Rogue comes out with another whatever the fuck.
Yeah, and it's
like
another rolling pin made out of steel.
The biggest cop out that you'll get when, because some of these guys will reach out to me that are, you know, they see an opportunity to make some widget bullshit thing.
Yeah.
And like, I push them on it. Like, I'm super critical. And it's like, what does this do for me? And the number one answer you should look for that's a giant red flag is, oh, it's just another tool in your tool belt. And it's like, okay, but they try and sell that to people, like everyone. And it's like, just because you have a lot of tools doesn't make you a fucking carpenter, right? So it's like when anyone ever reaches out, like, oh, what do you think of this? Or what do you think of this? Like, have you seen the new vibrating foam roller thing?
Oh, yeah. Or the ones that are like internally cooled. So it's like,
no, yeah, I haven't seen that. How much do they go for?
Stupid expensive.
It's ridiculous. Stupid but it's like, expensive. Like, if you can get really good at putting nails in a board, but it doesn't mean you know how to build a house. So it's like when people reach out and they're like, hey, like, what do you think of this foam roller, this Rogue, whatever? And it's like, all of this immediately start writing book names. And they're like, what the fuck? Whoa, what's going on? Like, I'm just asking about like this foam roller thing. I'm like, read all of these first before you buy a single lacrosse ball or a single foam roller. It's like, if you can have all the tools in the world, but if you don't know how to build a house, you're fucking useless, right? Yeah. And that's the cop out I get from every stupid, like, failed physical therapist turned foam roller salesman. It's just like, how many Willie Lomans don my DM of my Instagram page is just sad. It's like the death of a traveling foam roller salesman. It's
the most. You know, the best tool for mobility is using your fucking mobility.
Yeah, right. Moving. Having a brain would actually be a close second.
Yeah,
but it's just, anyways, that's my rant du jour. Where are we on now? Episode 27?
27, I believe.
27.
Yep.
Proprioception.
Proprioception.
Big word.
Yeah.
It's a lot of syllables for guys who still can't figure out the microphone situation. Apologies to Wes in the last video. Thought we had it figured out. Lundy saved. Lundy came through.
Yeah, we salvaged.
Yeah. So proprioception. What is it?
So the general definition would be your body's awareness in space.
Okay.
I like to think of it as your relative body positions.
Okay.
More so. So that's like, if you close your eyes and you stand on one foot, do you know what you're doing? Do you know where the ground is? Do you know where the walls are? Do you know what direction is up?
Yeah.
Something along those lines. So what we're going to talk about today is why it's important in sport, in injury rehab, in lifting, whatever you're doing. Some certain ways to train it and how we use it.
Yeah. Now, so, I guess, do you want to start off with like CrossFit specifically? Like,
I would say of the two disciplines
that we talk about, proprioception for you guys is, I don't say more important, but
yes,
more widely trained.
We're using a lot of different methods. We're moving our body in a lot of different ways. It's not just, you know, squat, bench, dead, where we have to have these three movements down pat.
Yeah.
But we're doing things like a muscle up on a pull-up bar or on rings, or we're walking on our hands, which that in itself, if you flip yourself upside down, do you know where the hell you are?
Dude, that trips me out. Yeah. Even whenever I do that like handstand thing, I still just like, I'm 3 or 4 seconds when I get back on the ground, like, okay, all right, this is where gravity wants me to be.
Yeah. Now imagine walking 100 feet on your hands and then picking up a barbell.
What's the hardest like proprioceptive endeavor you guys have to go through? Like,
It's probably from a coaching standpoint, I can definitely say it is the muscle up.
Okay.
It's the gymnastic movements more so than the barbell movements.
Yeah.
The barbell movements, people see point A, point B, start and finish point, and they could kind of make their way in between.
And I think, too, that barbell closes off the chain, right? Yes. The right hand is connected to the left hand.
Oh, absolutely. You get someone on rings, two unstable devices, and they're trying to move through a certain range of motion. It's not as intuitive as, you know, putting a barbell over your head. But, yes, proprioception, extremely important in CrossFit because of the wide range of movements that we do. And I'd say in CrossFit, that's probably the number one thing we're training. It's not, you know, your metabolic systems. It's not your cardiovascular endurance.
Yeah.
It's proprioception. Can you do these things? Do them efficiently and do them, then comes in the long periods of time, right?
Now, how do you progress that? Like, now, because so you like maybe a ring muscle up would be probably like the precipice of proprioception in CrossFit.
Yes.
Now, do you progress the muscle up itself as like, so are you progressing the exercise or are you progressing
that system, right? Like if I'm trying to build overall strength, I'll like undulate periodization or wave in different, like if I get my front squat heavier, I know my front or my deadlift will go up and have that dynamic correspondence. Now, do you guys just stick to one particular exercise? Like, hey, we're going to progress you from like a really starting position of like maybe a bar, like a pull up to then like a dip and then kind of put together a progression just for that one movement? Or do you look at a like a more global scale of programming for proprioception as a whole? So like maybe just a handstand on a wall like you had me do is like a starting point. And then you'll move to something totally different exercise, but it's a next progression in proprioception.
Yeah. So there's, there's two different pathways to learning this. One, we have to have the prerequisite strength.
Okay.
Right? So if you don't have the strength, you're not to, you know, do a couple pull-ups, do a couple dips. First of all, you can't do a muscle. So after that's out of the way, that's one specific side of training that doesn't really involve the proprioception. I can name about 30 different movements that I'll have someone do to get them to progress from, you know, having the strength but not having a muscle up to having the strength and having a muscle up. So how about this? I have actually written up two series of progressions, one for pulling strength and one for developing a strict muscle up.
Yeah.
If you guys leave reviews and comments, maybe I'll email it to you.
What an awesome.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, but, well, all right, I like
but
that.
But aside from that, yes, it is, once the strength is there, it is purely training. I like to I don't want to say dumb it down, but make it more digestible by saying training positions, positional awareness, which is really the same exact thing.
Sure.
But there's a couple different phases. You have to be pulling on those rings. Right? Well, even before that, if we're doing strict or if we're doing kipping, I'll usually teach the kipping because strict is much harder.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not really much harder, but people think of it as much harder. But to do the kipping, you have to learn how to swing on the rings first. Yeah. That's the first and foremost. From there, we have to learn how to pull those rings in a way that's going to allow us to turn over and get on top into that dip position. We have to find the timing between that swing, that pull, and then from that pull to that transition on top of the rings.
Yeah.
And we have to build awareness, stability in that position where we're on top of the rings.
Yeah.
And then a little bit, it's mostly just strength, but strength and stability to dip out of that.
Yeah.
So there's you know, I'd say 4 or 5 distinct stages in that muscle up with probably 10 to 15 different ways we could train each of those. So
I can't do a ring muscle up.
Yeah.
But watching videos of people that attempting their first one, that transition phase is hilarious.
Oh, dude.
Like the weird, like the stroke that they have and the seizure of like just trying to kick up. And it's just, oh man.
Yeah. Weird things happen with the legs. Both shoulders dislocate at some point.
It's bad.
It gets a little bit
and
weird.
Again, I can't shit talk, but okay. So you talked about progressing from like strength to just the body awareness. Mm-hmm. Now, distill it down for me, because I mean, this is how I look at proprioception from its like initial, like when it first rears its head in training, like body awareness from like a joint level.
Yeah.
Like that Rosetta Stone between like, if I say to someone, and this is what I'll do with a lot of my clients, is like externally rotate your shoulder. And if they know, if they're at all aware of their body, I got this. They put the elbows to 90 degrees and like scarecrow position and then externally rotate.
Yep.
But if you tell them to externally rotate with their arms at their sides, they can't do it.
Yeah.
They don't know what it is. So I mean, to me, proprioception is the translation of words into movement. Mm-hmm. And I think for a coach and an athlete to be on the same wavelength, like especially, I mean, with CrossFit because of the intricate movements you guys do. But I think too, with powerlifting, the movements might not be as intricate, but the consequences of getting those movements wrong is amplified tenfold to the amount of weight that's on your back, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So if you're, I mean, if you're walking someone through a heavy squat, and by that time you'd hope that, I mean, even relatively heavy for them, that if you say knees out, right, which is a common coaching cue, and they're going through abduction of the hips instead of external rotation of the hips, like what you're saying is, it's like a telephone game, right? Like that game you play when you're a kid where everyone lines up in a row and they say the one thing and it passes through that system. You need that to be a one-to-one ratio. You need to be what you tell them is the exact action that they perform. But if when they internalize the words and they go to express that as movement, if that's not a one-to-one ratio, your coaching is off and their lifting is off. So like literally peeling them down, like, okay, externally rotate your shoulders with your arms at your sides. All right, well, that's your underhand deadlift setup. right? That's external rotation of that shoulder. What muscles do that? What muscles are responsible for internally rotating the opposite shoulder? So it's like peeling it down to like, look at the movement you're training, look at each muscle, maybe not muscle action, but joint position, and know how to cue it. And I'll strip it down each, like, okay, the shoulder opens up, the shoulder closes down, hips open up. And I want to see them do it loaded and unloaded. So like, you know, it's one thing to externally rotate your shoulders when you're just sitting here without a bar in your hand. But what does that intent look like on a medium that's not going to move, that's not going to express that position?
Yeah. I love it. I love
it. It's like intent is everything. And for proprioception, and that's why I think people lose a lot out of their coaching, because I mean, you can gain, I mean, I know with powerlifting alone, like just subtle cues and getting the coach on the same, because it's literally like, I'm trying to feel things for you.
Yes.
Like I'm trying to watch what you're doing, imagine what that feels like when I do it like that, and then trying to, I'm trying to be in your own head. I'm trying to be inside you.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
But oh, that's, yeah.
Literally, I mean, for me, it's like, you know, the generic coaching cues, unless that is like hardwired before you use them, like what exactly that means, like flare your elbows out on the bench. Like, what? And it's like this huge disconnect. So for me, that's like the biggest thing. And you only have to do that across like three major lifts.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you guys go about handling that.
Let me just say I agree with 100% with everything that you just said. And I think where a lot of it gets lost is in the cueing process. So we're getting people to basically feel what we're saying when we cue them, right? So that's what the real proprioception is.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times people forget about the three types of cues we give. We give verbal,
yeah.
We give visual a lot, but how often are you touching people? It's that tactile. Cueing. So what I'll do, I work with a lot of people that are brand new to CrossFit that have maybe never even touched a barbell before.
Yeah.
When I tell them to get a barbell over their head for an overhead squat and externally rotate, what I'll do is I'll physically put them in that position. I'm like, there, you feel that?
Yeah.
That's what I mean when I'm saying externally rotate those shoulders with that bar over your head. So I make sure that they have an understanding. I could say, this is what bananas is. Every time I say bananas, you do this, and I put them in that position. It doesn't matter what the words are. Yeah. But that's what I'm getting.
Some sort of like weird fucking CrossFit safety word.
No.
Banana. Okay, unchain them. Stop burning them with candle wax.
But that's what I'm getting at, right?
Sure.
Is it doesn't matter what the fuck I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you associate that shoulder external rotation with the bar overhead in your overhead squat with bananas, when I say bananas, you're going to make it feel that way.
Then that's that translation, right?
Exactly.
Like, that's like, I don't know what like konnichiwa means. Like you could, I'm sure it's like hello maybe, I think, right? But you could tell me konnichiwa meant like go fuck yourself, and then every time someone says konnichiwa to me, I'd be like, hey.
Exactly.
Because that's the association.
That's what you perceive it as.
Exactly.
Right?
That's the efferent to that afferent, the output to the input sort of thing. And I think bananas is a little weird, but I totally get what you're saying. I mean, you could literally say anything as long as those words are expressed through movement that you want to see.
Exactly. The cue that you're saying doesn't necessarily matter as much as the response it elicits.
Yeah.
So if I can say whatever the fuck I say and it puts that person in the right position, that's the right cue for them.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter necessarily what you're saying. It matters how that person processes that information and responds to it.
Now, I struggle with this a little bit because it's like, I think everyone should have a physical literacy.
I 100% agree with that too.
Like a movement intelligence where I should be able to say externally rotate and not have to dumb it down.
Yeah. But not everyone does that.
No. And but I'll take banana.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, okay, you're going to sound like an idiot if you go anywhere else in the world and you're like, okay, banana. Like, Jesus. Got a schizophrenic, paranoid personality disorder. Yeah. I'm not talking to anyone from Sundown CrossFit ever again. But it's like, to bring them, I'll dumb it down so they, you know, fine, banana, sure.
Yeah.
But I'll be like, hey, this banana, what this actually is this, and we'll stick with the theme of external rotation, is your infraspinatus and teres minor externally rotating and stabilizing your shoulder in the overhead position because you've lost structural stability. Yeah. I want them on my level.
Yeah.
Because we are human beings and that is your body and you get one. Mm-hmm. If you can code your computer and not have to write, oh, fuck, how do I open up the terminal thing again? Oh, that's right. Banana. Like, no. Like, if you are more emotionally in tune with how to operate a machine rather than your own body.
Yeah.
Like, if your four-year-old kid can't sit in a squat, but he can fucking download Angry Birds on your credit card. Like, that's a fucking issue. So it's like, I get a lot of flack online or through the podcast about being too technical. It's like, no. Step your fucking game up, all right? Yeah. You need to know this shit. And if it takes banana to get you there, sure, I'm on board with that. But that should always be the end goal. Because it's like, I think to be a good, if you're pursuing athletics or really anything, you want to learn it to the point where you can teach it, right?
I 100% agree with that.
So it's like if we showed up to lecture on anatomy, be like, all right, guys, we're going to talk about the LD bone today. It's like, oh, Jesus, like get the fuck. I mean, everyone knows what we're talking about, but there's a certain level of like a baseline intelligence that we should all strive for when it comes to body awareness, when it comes to
mechanics. I like to think of it as responsibility, right? You're responsible for your own body. Just like, you know, people have a shitty diet, right?
Yeah.
You're putting shitty fuel in your body, you're going to have shitty results later in life for that. Yeah. Same thing. You know, you have shitty movement patterns, you're going to have shitty results later in life because of that. This is, like you said, you get one body, this is how we use it. And I think people should have that literacy.
Yeah.
In reality, most people don't. And that's what we're here for, is we're here to bridge that gap, right? As both of us being healthcare providers, and you do some personal training, I do some personal training, I coach CrossFit. We're here to take that person that doesn't know banana from external rotation.
Yeah.
Like, all right, this is banana. Banana is external rotation. This is why we're doing it.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part behind it too, is learning not only how to do it right, but learning why you're doing it
right. And I think, to your point, like it's a lot easier in conventional sports to hardwire proprioception because the objective outcome is clear, right? The objective outcome of like what a good snatch looks like is a varying spectrum from person to person based off your morphology. An objective outcome of what a good layup looks like is, did the ball go in the fucking net?
Yeah.
Or what a jump shot or a free throw. There's technique involved. And that's the hard part, because people can't see when the bar is over their head what it looks like. They can see when they take a jump shot and they pull left. And it's like, okay, so your body has like proprioceptors. And I think that's a bullshit general term that a lot of people who don't understand neurology will use. So I want to dig a bit deeper. When that input comes through that dorsal spinal column, goes into the posterior columns medial limniscus for any neurology people.
PCML.
Yeah, PCML track. And it's like the first order, second order, third order neurons ends up in your cerebellum. So you get feedback from that. Be like, okay, and it's your cerebellum that says, okay, shit, we pulled left. I'm going to shoot more to the right. And then hopefully next time I drain it. Right. And then it goes to like the motor programming part of the cortex, and then it goes into the motor output, and then it goes back in your body. Then you take the next jump shot. Mm-hmm. So the auto regulation of that, as long as you know left from right and you don't have any serious brain lesions or a stroke, you can like automatically think, okay, I need to put more on it, or I need to change my position. But with the barbell, where it's like, this is happening in the arena of our own body, not a distant trajectory, to internalize proprioception on such a short degree of trajectory without, like, I use this analogy all the time to explain gait cycles. Like, if I'm going to shoot this microphone that's right in front of me, if I could be 30 degrees off and I can still hit it. And that's exactly the feedback that, like, if we stretch it all the way out, like if I'm trying to shoot the postman across the street, I could be 30 degrees off. I'm going to miss him by a country mile. Mm-hmm. And that trajectory difference will be so much more apparent to me when we stretch it out. And that's the jump shot. That's the free throw. You realize, oh shit, I was way off. But if you just looked at that ball position 2 feet after it left your hand, you have no idea whether it's going to go
exactly the same.
But that's the thing with moving the barbell. You're trying to stay within your own center of gravity. So it's like, you don't know. I mean, you can feel it, but the degrees off, you need to be so in tune with that. Because if you're a degree off, you added weight to the bar.
Absolutely. Every single time.
Yeah.
And that's something that you kind of brushed over that I definitely think is important, is being aware of how your body is moving without actually seeing your body moving. That's
what progress. Get out of the mirrors. Get out of the mirrors of the commercial gym.
So many people come in here and they're like, oh, there's no mirrors. How am I supposed to know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
You feel it. You feel it. And you get that feedback.
We're gonna put on some Celine Dion.
I'll tell.
Lower the lights. We're gonna feel it. Get the Barry White going.
Yes.
Yeah. No. And it threw me off, man. I mean, I came from a commercial gym background, and I still remember training at Boss for the first couple of times. I felt like I was squatting in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
I'm like, where am I?
And now you don't know what's going on.
No, it's so crazy, like how reliant you are on that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why a lot of people. Knee sleeves, I mean, it's a whole other aside, and we can talk about equipment maybe more specifically in another episode, but I think that's one of the good things that I really like about knee sleeves. Like, the sleeves I have don't take three people to put on a garbage bag, but it's that tactile feedback. So it's like, I know where my knees are because there's something poking me the entire time. So it's like, yeah. If I don't have you walking around, like, tapping me all the time, it's like, okay, I know where that is. So people mm-hmm. implement things like that just to have that feedback. But the mirrors thing, for those people who train in a commercial gym, that's how you can tell, like, real lifters at a commercial gym, they turn the other way in the squat rack. They'll turn and face, like, the general population of the gym and then squat because it makes such a difference.
Oh, man. And I think for me, like, I've snatched in front of a mirror before. The weirdest fucking thing. The weirdest thing.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I'm so good looking. It's distracting in itself.
Yeah, just, oh, my
itself.
God,
this
aura.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. Who's this incredibly handsome
thing,
man?
The worst thing, too, is you can see the other lepers in the gym, like in the commercial gym.
Oh, it catches your eye.
Yeah, it's so bad. It's like, oh, what the fuck is that guy doing? And it's like, oh, geez, I almost lost it.
Yeah.
another thing too about like proprioception when it comes to making that switch from like the commercial gym to the regular gym is using like video.
I like how you said from the commercial gym to the rate to like the real gym.
Yeah, the real gym. Commercial gyms are not
the gym where people work.
Yeah.
Anyways,
where it's like, I mean, it's weird because in a commercial gym, people videotape themselves and it's just stupid, right? Like, you know, bicep curls and their stringers or whatever the fuck. Yeah. Hey, don't hate. I'm sure this video would be doing that somewhere. But it's like,
I'm gonna pull one up today
to use it as a coaching tool, like to bring the narcissism away from it, and like, okay, you get to see yourself. Post-fact, right?
Yes.
So it's like, now you need to remember what that felt like. You need to internalize that motor pattern and then change it after the fact. Because the auto feedback is a crutch, right? Like you can look at yourself every single time and be like, oh, okay, I'll go there. So it's like, there's this phenomenon when you have to Google search something, right? Like if we sat here like, oh shit, who is Robin when Batman was Val Kilmer? We'd look it up. I still have no idea who it is. And you look it up every single time because you're reliant on Google to tell you the answer. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're the rat in the experiment that goes back to the little thing that gives it the food. It doesn't learn how to get food itself. So with the auto regulation and that feedback of the mirror always there, you don't realize how reliant you were on it for that motor pattern. And you're not developing a motor pattern. You're just relying on like that feedback constantly. So you don't really learn how to squat until I could wake you in a dead sleep in a dark room and you could squat ass naked, like ass to grass, right? But it's,
what?
But honestly, and it's like, I thought I knew how to squat until you took the mirror away. And I realized I knew how to fix my squat every rep. But the actual act of squatting, I had no idea.
This makes me so happy.
Well, I think it's a good point because a lot of people that listen to us, hopefully, I mean, they train in real gyms, but some people, you know, you're stuck in the commercial gym and just try it. I mean, flip it around. Don't have that feedback. Don't
close
have
your eyes, maybe. Yeah.
And it's like, if you don't train with someone, knowing to internalize your own sort of Rosetta Stone, know your own banana.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then when you watch yourself train, you're like, oh, okay, I need to do this at this point of the movement. Because with powerlifting, it's nuanced, but you need to be in the right place at the right time to express your strength, where you guys are all over the place and need to know where all those places are.
Yeah, and that's such a good point. And I tell people to do it so many times with so many different movements. It's just videotape yourself.
Yeah.
Then what's going to happen is you're going to get that instant feedback, that tactile feedback of where your body is, what you're feeling, your proprioception. Yeah. And you're going to associate that with something that later on, you might think it feels good, but it looks like complete shit.
Yeah.
Right? And then the opposite of that, my girlfriend does this all the time. Oh. And she'll have very good movement patterns.
Yeah.
And she'll overthink it and be like, oh man, that felt like shit.
Yeah.
But then she looks at the video, she's like, oh, you know what? It's not that bad. Yeah. So it goes both ways.
Sure.
It's to associate a feeling with a movement pattern, but not that instant feedback like you're talking about. So you can feel it, form an opinion, learn it, see how you're moving. Then actually visualize it, look at it, and be like, okay, you know what? When I felt like my knee was falling in on that right side, it was actually in pretty good position.
And two, for speed, right? If I come in and I'm like, I got to hit certain numbers, and I feel like it was a 10-second rep, and the video is 3 seconds long, and I was like, all right,
throw more weight.
The bar, throw more. It's like, just, it does not matter how you feel. It's something I've said, like, to the RPE scale, right? It's like, yo, I've had sets or workouts where the empty bar feels like a 10.
Yeah.
And guess what? We got 600-700 pounds to go. So buck up, chief, because this is fucking happening. So
I've had some of my best lifts on the days I felt the shittiest.
Sure. Yeah.
So if you take that one step, 1 degree of separation,
yeah,
and take yourself outside of it, and you can coach yourself now from an outside perspective.
Yeah, it's
it goes a long ways.
Yeah, I think having that the video feedback post lift, I think forces you to learn it, to be more aware of your position in space, mm-hmm. so you can replay what you felt in your head and what actually happened objectively on film.
Yeah.
Now let's flip gears now to injury.
Yes.
So this is the hard part, because, you know, say you've done all the prerequisite things. You just went two ham on spike ball, rolled your ankle like a fucking jabroni.
That sounds a very real situation.
Yeah, I know a guy. I think that plays one of the biggest roles in injury rehabilitation.
Yeah.
And now this is where it gets lost, though. Because, I mean, we could double back to the intro and talk about people that sell you bullshit and use it as a tool.
Mm-hmm.
People like wobble board, unstable surface, and they try to sell you on proprioception. It's a 3 or 4 syllable word. It's buzzy. It sounds like you know what you're talking about. So all of a sudden the Bosu balls come out, and now it's like, oh, we're going to rehab. And it's like, okay, let's start with like maybe just standing on one leg.
Absolutely.
Right? Cause you're coming off an injury right now.
Yeah. I'm about 5 weeks post ankle sprain. I'd say pretty serious grade 2 sprain.
Grade 2 spike ball related injury. He's on the day to day. He's on the injured reserve.
I know. I'm getting back slowly. I'm back on the roster now.
Okay.
Thank God.
Now, how has proprioception training played a role? Because your body awareness is better than 99.9% of people out there.
Absolutely.
The level in which you compete at. How has proprioception been a part of your rehabilitation process?
So I'll say it's probably one of the later stages, because let me put this out there. Pain trumps proprioception 10 out of 10 times.
Oh, sure, yeah.
If I can't stand on one leg without, without that leg giving out, I have no business on a fucking wobble board.
Yeah, I don't give a shit where my leg is in space if it hurts.
So, first steps, as always, that just range of motion.
Okay.
Start off with passive. I move relatively quickly to active range of motion, and I've been stuck there for a while.
Okay.
But I've recently, last week and a half, started loading it.
Okay.
Right? So, as I started loading it, as I started to get to that active range of motion, that's when I throw in the proprioception training. Nice. So, it starts with just like what you said, standing on one leg.
Okay.
Trying to shift my weight throughout that foot as I'm on one leg to feel where it is, feel how my body reacts to it.
Yeah.
If I hit a weak point or my foot gives out, just go back on two legs. And then from there, I've done a little bit of unstable surface training.
Now you're air quoting that. Why?
Because it's not like I'm not doing anything crazy, like standing on a Bosu ball with one leg. I grab, we have like these, it's basically a yoga mat.
Okay.
I'll double, triple up a yoga mat. So it's a little fluffy on the ground, and I'll stand on one leg on that.
Okay. See,
okay.
That to me has such a dynamic correspondence, because you will find places in the world where you will walk and that will be the consistency of the surface.
Yeah.
You will not find a place where you're walking down the sidewalk on fucking inverted Bosu balls. So, I mean, to me, like, actually, there's some research that shows Bosu ball training for ankle rehabilitation. Ankle and low back, not bad. Knees, actually worse.
Really?
Post-op ACL knees, female soccer players, I read the study a couple years ago, actually had a higher rate of reoccurrence than not. Because let's think about stimulus, right? Like, you're not going to be able to load that ankle or that knee in with as much weight as a stimulus as you would if you were just on flat ground on one leg.
Right.
Well, guess what? When you're on one leg and you're back in sport, you're not going to be back playing soccer on a fucking wobble board or a Bosu ball. You're going to be back playing full bore running with your own body weight, putting more force through. So having more sport-specific rehabilitation, unless you play soccer on a field with fucking Bosu balls, maybe not your first, but you will maybe play on a soft field. It rained outside. The consistency of the ground underneath you is now not as firm as a gym floor. The yoga mat's a great option, where it's like, 2 inches of foam under your foot. Now that forces you to just give a different feedback, but you're not trying to create extra physiological instability, because your body doesn't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. It starts firing on things that it doesn't need to fire on just to stay balanced. So sometimes, you got to make sure that your rehabilitation is is not something you're trying to progress to the point of being good at unstable surface training. You're trying to get good at barbell sports, or you're trying to get good at soccer again or basketball. You're not trying to get, you're not trying to go to the Olympics for fucking Bosu ball standing. And I think that's where people get like lost in the theatrics of that style of training, because it just becomes a parlor trick at a certain point.
Yep.
It is a tool, but you need to know how to be a fucking carpenter first. So knowing that,
bringing it full circle,
boom,
the carpenter references. Yeah,
it's like that's the thing with people that just love unstable surface training. It's like, cool, you and the guy, the little fucking the seal at SeaWorld are now the same person. You're really good at balancing a nose on your ball, but you're both equally as shit at barbell sports. So it's
right?
That's where I look for that. Like my biggest problem with reinstating proprioception, because it's I find proprioception to a certain extent post injury is a binary 0 to 1. I mean, there's a graduation process of getting better, but there's a point where getting better at proprioception drills isn't going to make you a better squatter.
Right.
Right. Especially well,
joint specific proprioception.
Sure. Yeah. Drills. Especially if you come in with a strong base of proprioception.
Yeah.
You're not trying to now get like more ankle stability than you once had.
Right.
What with an ankle is an interesting case, because when you lose, its stability is very much structural. There's a lot of there's a lot of ligaments, not a lot of tendons. So you need to make sure that the strength of the muscles that call on what tendons are there are very strong and stable. But reinstating that ligamentous stability can be difficult depending on the grade of sprain.
Yeah.
Same thing with pelvis. Pelvic stability, a lot of structure. Hip, a lot of function. Shoulder, a lot of function.
Absolutely.
Right? So knowing... You know, reading the carpentry book first before we start going out and playing around with fun little proprioception toys, because there is a market to sell you. And it's like if you're an injured athlete and someone comes along, like, oh, here, I have this wobble board. This is going to increase blah. And it's just like, be mindful.
No, I like the point of training proprioception to a level associated with what you're going to apply it to.
Yeah.
Because I'll say if all I want to do is squat, I'd be done with my rehab.
Yeah.
That was the first loaded activity that I started to add back in. I used a little bit of a heel lift because I don't have full range of motion yet.
Yeah.
But I can squat just fine. It doesn't take too much ankle stability to squat.
Yeah.
As opposed to
as opposed to
something like a snatch or a clean or a jerk or down the line a pistol.
Yeah.
A box jump, running, things like that require more ankle stability.
And I think that's a really interesting point to you, because like you said, squatting is the first thing you'd put back in, right? So to people who squatting is the last thing they would want to do, building a buffer past squatting, having those movements where, sure, if you're stable when you're squatting, that's fine. But if you're not stable doing, you know, single leg RDLs or Bulgarian split squats or wide stride walking lunges, then maybe creating a buffer, right? Like, so say you're a powerlifter and you have an unfortunate spike ball injury and you roll your ankle. I know.
I feel
hope it
for
happens
you.
To no one.
I feel for you though. If it
you're
does.
You're a fucking idiot.
Come talk to me.
You have some sort of emotional support group.
Come email me. I'll send you a muscle up progression.
Spike ball progression. but yeah, if you're, and that is your highest level of proprioception is a bilateral load barbell back squat. Maybe think of putting things into your program that are going to build you a threshold, increase that need for proprioception, so the barbell back squat isn't the end of the road as far as your progression goes. So maybe, you do your rehab on your ankle and you can get back to squatting, but you can't get back to the single leg stuff yet. Maybe you shouldn't be squatting yet.
That's called dysfunction.
Boom.
That's what that's called.
Wow, that is. Yeah. We would drop the mic, but it's screwed into this stand thing. It's really hard to do. So I think that's a good place to leave it. If you guys have questions on proprioception, reach out. Facebook, Instagram, wherever we are, shoot us an email.
Absolutely.
Anything else to add? Lumberjack Productions.
Yeah.
Check them out. I think you guys' website up now.
Nice.
Jin, hooking it up.
Yep. EngineFitness.com. Use code RXDRadio.
Keep the
what?
Five stars.
Five stars.
21 strong now.
Yeah. You guys are crushing
Each one of those is printed off and hung on my fridge.
Yeah. That's right.
So a 5-star rating review on iTunes. Be sure to subscribe. Share with your friends. We're going to do a Q&A episode soon.
Oh, are we?
We are.
This is the first time here.
Yeah, I had an executive meeting this morning with myself on the toilet.
And I didn't even get coffee? Well,
I think it was 19 was our last episode. So I'm thinking maybe every 10 or so, depending on the demand. But yeah, if you want to leave your questions in your 5-star rating and review.
How about that?
Incentivize. but yeah, until next time, guys.
All right, thanks for listening.